It is the celebration of the greatest event in the world that changed everything, something that has never happened, will never happen again, and it was the very gift of God to us that gave us the ability to have a hope that nothing else would give, and that is the resurrection of Jesus, that just as he said, he walked out of the tomb alive. It has been recorded and authenticated by over 500 people, ancient writings, the manuscripts that people have testified to, and we have that knowledge that Jesus is alive. Now, this morning, I want to bring to you this understanding that the same thing that happened to Jesus is going to happen to us. And that's the one great thing about Easter, is that Easter was not just a point in history to look back to, but Easter is something that throughout the Bible it says that Jesus was the first fruits. He never meant it to be something focused solely on him, but there is something that we are going to experience, that God gives us the hope and the knowledge that the same thing that God worked in Jesus, God wants to work in us. And he will work in us, both now and in a future tense. I want to read a scripture in John, and we know the great scripture of John 3:16 and the promise that God gave, that it was because of his love that he gave his only begotten son to come and die for us and to rise again, that we could have new life. But in that same passage that Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and that's who he was talking to when he shared that great promise, before he came to that great revelation, back in verse 3 of chapter 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, talking to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And of course, Nicodemus said, "What in the world are you talking about? How can I be born again? I am a grown man. What am I supposed to crawl back up into my mother's womb and then be born again? How is this possible?" And of course, Jesus said, "I understand that things that seem impossible to you now, God is working on, and there are things that we don't understand, like he talked about the wind. Where does the wind come from? And yet it does blow, and yet we can't see where it comes from. There are some things that we can't understand that God does, and you have to," Jesus was basically telling him at this point, "you've got to trust me, but you need to be born again if we are going to see the kingdom of God, because this life that we live, we look around this world, we can understand why Jesus says that, because this world is not a picture of the kingdom of God. It is not a picture of love. It is not a picture of peacefulness, a security where we can live life with comfort, with a joy that is not ripped apart any second. We see every day now a new attack happens around the world, whether it's Belgium and Africa, Paris. You know, we don't have peace of mind. So we can understand that Jesus says that something needs to change. That's what Jesus was saying. You got to understand that if God is going to bring new life to this world, something has to change. And it's got to start with each individual person. You need to be born again. Because we all understand that the very same things that we see over there in the terrorists and around, we say, you know, that's not us. But yet we know in our heart we deal with the same problems. We deal with hate. We would deal with bitterness. You know, just because we're not lighting a bomb and killing people, how many know we have that same potential within us? How many have ever thought that, man, if I could, I would do that? You know, we wouldn't do it. We keep telling ourselves, but I wouldn't do that. But the fact that you think that, how is that different? You see, we all have that sin within us, that nature within us that is envious, that is greedy, sometimes hate what happens to him. Well, that's not fair. Why did you get that? And look what I have to have. You see, that's that sin nature within us. And Jesus says, see, something has to change. You've got to be born again. You need something new within you. Because even though you don't act on those impulses, that is the seed of the same death that comes from the worst of the worst people. And in fact, that's the end result. When we saw the cross and we talked about the cross on Friday, we mentioned that the cross was not just a punishment that was poured out upon Jesus. It was meant to be a picture to wake us up that this is where our sin is leading us. See, the cross was an outpouring of what humanity has become. The cross is meant to remind us that we are brutal at nature. And so we need something to change us. But like Nicodemus, we said, we can't change. How can I change? Am I supposed to start over again? I can't do it. Jesus understood at that time that that was true. And so all he could do was promise Nicodemus this promise. Nicodemus, I know you can't right now, but God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believeth in him will not die, but will live forever. Because he knew what was coming. Because here's what makes the difference. The whole thing that made it possible for us to be born again, to be changed, only came once Jesus was resurrected. It was the resurrection of Jesus that broke the natural physical laws that covered our emotional and our spiritual beings. See, we were still under the very things that God had put in place ever since he said, let there be light, and began to create. But you see, once he began to create, we stepped in and said, we want to create it in our image, God. What you did is not what we want. And so after that first, let there be light, and he began to create, we broke that. And so what the resurrection is the second time that God once again said, let there be light. And Jesus' resurrection was the light of a new creation. You see, it was a beginning again that now God is going to offer us the ability to enter into the second creation. It's a spiritual, it is an emotional creation that is going to end up in a physical creation, because God has promised that one day we will also fully be resurrected, even physically, into the same body that Christ has. But when Jesus rose again, the possibility came that we can be born again. I don't care what you are experiencing today, you can be born again. You can begin to change things. You can begin to see a new creation start in your life. And like any creation, and even like the first creation, it didn't happen in one day. We know that God, over 6 days, slowly created all the building blocks of this universe. And the resurrection and the day that we come to Christ is just day one. But throughout your journey of your life, God is continuing this creation of newness, birthing new things in your life. And even today, maybe you have come to the point that you've acknowledged Jesus as your Lord, and you've come into this relationship with God. Today, he still wants to continue that creation process. So this message is not just for those that have not committed themselves to following Christ. I'm talking even to those that are in the process, that God today wants you to understand that there's still something even new that he wants to create in you. We need to, many times we as Christians, we've stopped growing. Well, I've already been born again. I'm new. Yet God says, as soon as you stop growing and creating and living, we know what we've started doing. We've started dying. God does not want us to die, but he wants us to experience the same power of resurrection that he did in Jesus. So we're going to look in Romans. Romans chapter 8 gives us this principle. Starting in verse 8, it says this: so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We understand that. We've already talked about that. In my flesh, I cannot please God. I can give lip service. I can act really good. And on the outside, you can think, wow, he's a nice person. But in my flesh, you see, God sees beyond the outward. He knows what's going on in my heart and my mind. He knows that while I'm sitting here, I'm saying, okay, what's going on TV and the race and the football game, and I'm really not concerned about it. He sees that, what's going on in our heart. He sees that I'm looking across and judging the person down the road. Oh my gosh, I can't believe. Do you know what they said? And they're in church, and I know what really happened the other day. See, in our flesh, we do not naturally please God, okay? So we understand that. But here's the thing. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. There's another option. We can invite the Spirit of God in an act of surrender, in an act of yielding, in an act of my choice, that I choose, God, help me to get out of my flesh. God, I want to put myself in your hand that you can begin to change those things that are in me. And he says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he's not his. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. We understand that. But the Spirit has life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is a key verse. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, if you have believed in your heart, if you have decided that I choose you, God, I trust that God, you were the one that created me. You have a purpose for my life, and I'm going to put my life in your hands. I'm going to begin to not just walk a religious life and not just believe a certain philosophy, but I am going to move into relationship with you, God, that God, I want to follow you. My life is yours. Help me to become a disciple. It's kind of like joining that baseball team, joining that football team, whatever. That coach, I understand that you're the best coach around. I want you to coach me. I want you to coach me up. And if you're going to coach me up, if you're going to make me into a champion, I want to be a champion. I'm tired of being a loser. I'm tired of dealing with the loneliness and the fear and the anger and all that comes on, because that's what happens when I control my life. God, I want to experience victory. I want to experience the thrill of the crowd cheering because I got it right for once. But that doesn't happen by believing in philosophy and just following. You need a coach to coach you up. And what happens? The coach says, okay, then you got to change some things. We're going to change your diet. We're going to change your exercise. We're going to do some things. See, following Christ is like that. See, we've turned it into just something that we've signed on. I'm on the line. Okay, now I'm a member. See, we just want to be like a member of a country club. See, that's easy. You can just go out and have fun whenever you want, but there's really no demands. God says you can't just be a member. You got to join the team. You got to put yourself under my hand. But it says, if you will do that, if you will begin to say, God, you be my coach. You be the one that you make the decisions. I may not like it sometimes, especially when the coach calls you up and says, okay, 5 a.m., we're going to get out and do an early morning workout. What? Oh, man. Let's go. See, following Christ is like that sometimes. It's not always convenient. But the results are what we want. You see, the results are worth it. When we begin to understand that, okay, I'll do it because I want the results. The results are life. But when we do that, it says, when the Spirit dwells in you and he is your coach, then the same power that he used to raise Christ. Let's say if you went to, if you're a basketball fan, you say, man, I want to be like Michael Jordan. You go to his coach who won all the championships with the Bulls, then won all the championships with the Lakers, and he comes and he says, I can make you like Jordan because I've coached him up once before. I'm going to coach you up. The same power that he used to create that champion, he's going to create a champion in you. The same power that God used to raise up Jesus as our champion, as the one who has defeated the grave, says, I can do the same thing with you. That's what God is saying to us today. I can do the same thing with you. The same power that raised Christ lives in you. I will give life to your bodies if you will let me dwell in you. If you will let me be your God. So when we celebrate Easter, we are celebrating the power of God in Christ. And the implication is that that becomes the ability for us to receive the same power. Because the same power that was in Christ, God wants to work in your life. It's not just something we look, wow, Jesus, look what you did, and I can never do that. Jesus says, if that's all you do, then you're missing the point. Because Jesus said, follow me. You can do the same things that I did and even greater. Here's the thing. What does he want to do in us? He wants to birth new life. Just as he birthed new life out of that tomb, God wants to birth new life in you. How many know? Maybe you don't want to admit it, but in your life, in your heart right now, you know I need new life. Maybe you're at the end of your life. Maybe you are struggling. You're holding back the tears. Maybe you go home and you hold back the urge to go to the counter and take the pills and just take them all. Make the pain go away. Maybe you fight the urge to go out into the world and just lose yourself in the pleasures and what everyone else is doing. God says, instead of that pain, I want to give you a new option that there will be life. I want to take that pain and I want to give you life and hope and joy and peace. You see, these are things that God wants to birth in you. And he will do that without taking away. See, many of us were like, but if I do that, then I lose my own desires. I can never have fun anymore. You're just going to make me into a robot that I just have to do what you say, God. That's not the God that we serve. You see, we serve a God that says, I don't want to make you into a robot. I want to give you life and life abundantly. Those things that you're holding on to that you think are your pleasures and are your desires, he says, I've used this illustration so many times, it's like a little kid playing with mud pies, and I want my mud pies. And yet mom's saying, come on, I've got some great, brand new, piping hot apple pie for you. No, I don't want to stop playing in the mud. Instead of playing in the mud, let's go to Disneyland. And yet, no, we won't get out of our mud pit. The things that we are holding on to that are so, we don't want to give up the convenience of those, we are passing on something that is so much better. Because God says, if you will delight in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. We got to understand that God is a good father. He is a good coach. Is there pain in following it? Yes, but there's victory celebrations after the game. You see, the greatest thing if you have kids going to those T-ball games, I umpire the games for the girls' softball, and all the girls come and they go through the game, but you know what? Half of them, they could care less about the game. As soon as they get, okay, where's the snacks? 3 outs. Okay, let's go get the snacks. God is saying, come on, we got to play the game, but I got snacks for you at the end. But we're not even willing to show up because it's too much of a pain. And so we miss out on the great joys that God has for us. Yes, it takes discipline. Yes, there is the cross on Friday and the tomb on Saturday. But you got to go through that so that you can have the resurrection on Sunday and the life that goes on from there. The same power that is in Christ is offered to you. I want to look at 4 things that God wants to maybe birth in you and that maybe you're desiring. Maybe you didn't know where to get this, and maybe today that option will become clear. I want to read a little story here. Story of a British couple who left on a British sailing boat, and they landed on an island under armed guard. And the guard stood by while the crew built the missionaries a house on this island in which to dwell. And then they sailed away. The sailors were convinced that they would never see this couple again. And the people on that island, and the missionary couple were called the Patones. They were brutal and cruel beyond hope. Most of the British Navy would not even go to this island anymore because it wasn't worth the struggle and fight, because they were cannibals. They were brutal. They didn't even have a concept of decency in warfare or even fighting or anything. And yet this couple, Mr. and Mrs. Patone, went to work with them, and the sailors left thinking they would never see them again. After a short time on the island, a tropical disease of all things, not even the people of the island, came, and Mrs. Patone died within short order. Her husband buried her, but after he buried her, he realized that the natives were just waiting to undig her and have a feast. He couldn't imagine that in his heart, his loved one being treated in such a way. And so John Patone lied upon her grave with his musket in hand for 10 days and nights, fighting away the natives, aided only by his dog that was his only company now on the island. He could not leave the grave of his wife's body until he was sure that she had decayed and corrupted beyond being edible anymore. It was after that time that he retired to his lonely house, and he began the day-by-day translation of the Bible into the native tongue of these people. For 30 years, he labored with the cannibals of the island, until a British government commission showed up, visited the island, and later published an official document of congratulations saying that the cannibals of New Hebrides had now become the most advanced and cultured of all native tribes who lived under the British flag. In those 30 years, a race had been transformed by the living power of Jesus lived out in the life of John Patone. How can a group of people so brutal be totally transformed? It only happens through the resurrection of Jesus. One thing that God wants to do is that as that power lives in us, God desires to give you a new beginning today. Just as that tribe experienced a new beginning. Today, the same power that raised Christ out of the grave wants to raise you out of whatever past you have felt. Whatever things you have done, you need to know that God wipes it away. God is not here to condemn you. God is not here to judge you. God offers today a new beginning. Maybe it's not sins. Maybe they are your own failures. Maybe it is your own disappointment in yourself that why try again? And yet God is saying, don't give up. I have a new beginning for you. Whether it is guilt, whether it is shame, whether it is disappointment, maybe it's just fatigue. Maybe you're just tired of trying again. Maybe you've just been going through the same things. God says, you know what? I want to give you a new beginning. Maybe you've got to the point you've just plateaued and it's the effort is greater than the results. God wants you to know that Jesus rose from the grave with the power of starting fresh right now. There is a clean slate waiting you. Tomorrow can be a new vision, a new dream that God wants to give you. that you can begin to go to bed tonight realizing that in the morning there's going to be someone new in that mirror when you look at it. There's going to be a new person that God says, let's start fresh. Let's start on Sunday morning. Let's put Friday behind us. Will you let God give you a new beginning? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a wonderful thing that God does. It's not that he forgets, because God is God. He can't forget. Many people say, how can God forget my sins? He knows what you did. This is what's even greater. Despite him knowing, he still says, let's start over. I don't even care. It's not that he forgets. He says, I don't care. You are someone precious. You are someone so great that I want to start fresh. You know what? God is the greatest creator of the greatest whiteout you can ever imagine. I love that. You know who created whiteout was David Letterman's mom, if you did not know that. She was the creator of whiteout. And yet, there's no greater whiteout than the blood of Jesus. It doesn't leave a mark. It doesn't, you can't even tell. God says, I want to start fresh with you. And wow, what potential there is. Because if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. And it doesn't mean just once. You know what? We have new seasons in our life. This is what I'm talking about. If you've been a Christian forever, you know what? God has a new beginning for you. I'm not talking about getting saved again. I'm talking about there's just a new beginning. I love that we were out in the courtyard yesterday, and I was in the back cooking the hot dogs, and they had moved the poinsettias from Christmas out there. And you know what? They're budding again. And it's like they served a purpose. Christmas was over, and it's great to have them, but you know what? They're budding again. Maybe you're a Christian. You've served this church for years and years, 80 years, 90 years. You know what? God wants to bud you again. There's a new beginning that God has for you. We need to stop just giving in to the fatigue of life and begin to enter into the resurrection of Jesus. God wants to wipe it clean and give you new hope. There's a new beginning today. That same power that started fresh with Jesus wants to start fresh with you. But that same power that lives in us also wants to give you a new identity. How many of you are tired of being who you are? We have been defined by so many things. We're defined by what the world says we should look like. We're defined by what the world says we should dress like. We're defined by what skills we should have. And if you don't have those, then you're not quite as good. You know what? God says, I don't define you by any of that. I have a new identity for you. You need to understand that you are not known by your past. You are known by the resurrection of Christ. You can begin to incorporate a new identity that God looks at you and says, you know what? You need to be someone new. Are you tired of being who you are? Then let's start a new beginning. Not only a new beginning, but let's start a new identity of who you are. You are not failure. You are not last in line. You are not the one that hurt that other person. You are forgiven. There is a new identity for you. This is what he says in Galatians. He said, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. What a difference. We have been slaves. We live in a world of victim mentality. I am victim. I am blame. I am, how dare this happen? God wants to change us from slave to son. I am son. I am daughter. But not just any son, not just any daughter. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his own special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants you to look in the mirror and understand that you were chosen. I know when you look in the mirror, you're still going to see the warts and the wrinkles and the blemishes. But God says, I want you to see the chosen prince and princess, the heir to the throne, the son, the daughter that I've chosen you to be. Your royalty. In your blood flows the blood of Jesus, the very King of kings and Lord of lords. You have a new identity. The Bible says you are ambassadors. You are representatives. You have the authority of God behind you. When those feelings of loneliness and despair come, you can stand up and say, enemy, I rebuke you because I have the word of God that says I am chosen. I am special. I am his own special people. He has a plan for me. I am loved. I have a new identity. We need to embrace the new identity because our identity is what's killing us. We keep seeing ourselves in those ways that the world crushes us down. And God wants to lift us out of that. Not just to embellish ourselves. It's not an identity to say, look at me, look who I am. It says that I've given you a new identity so that you can praise the one who lifted Jesus out of the grave. That we can live such lives that I am an ambassador to the one who is so beautiful, who is so awesome, that can I introduce you to my Father. You see, it's not to look at me, it's to look at him. That I am now the great representation to lead people to the greatest one in history. God wants to give you that identity to overcome the things that empower your mind. That same power that works in Christ is in you. It's not by your own effort. It is by the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is alive to give you that new identity. But not only that, that power lives in us to bring us a new purpose. Not only do you have a new identity, you have a meaning to your life. You know, the worst thing of life is going to work every day and you start to ask, what's the meaning? It's just to pay the bills, just to get money, just to eat, and then I get hungry again the next day. You enjoy a great meal, but then the next weekend you're already... It's like, what's the purpose? God wants you to know not only do you have a new beginning and a new identity, there is a new purpose. You have a meaning. You are unique. You are special. And there is something that God wants to do for you and through you. Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, again, always in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you know that before you were born, God had a plan for your life, that you are going to make a difference. It's not just to accomplish something, to make a difference. He wants to give you a new purpose. And you know what, Christians? There's another purpose. We have gotten so used to, well, this is my purpose. And I've done this, and this is my role in the church, and this is my role for God. You know what? God wants to give you a new purpose. I don't know if you're like me, but I get tired of the same things where we used to live. Michelle would come home from work about every 4 or 5 months, and you know what? I got tired, so the furniture was all moved in different places. She used to hate it. She'd come home, and you know, instead of the couch being in the living room, I want it in the family room. And so during that day, and I was an appraiser, and so I worked on our own, and we worked for ourselves, and so I could rearrange my schedule. So I would do it during the day, and I just wanted something new. And I would change it around. It's like that in our life, even as Christians. God says, you know what? There are different times and seasons where there's a new purpose for you. Maybe you've been serving God, and God says, you are doing a good job, but I want to give you a new purpose. I want to give you, let's just change it up. Let's have something with some excitement. Some of you, you're just bored. You're just going through the motion. God wants to give you a new purpose. There are good works that God created just for you that you're going to make a difference in someone's life that no one else is going to touch. Some of you look, I am not able to do that. Yes, you are, because God created you for a purpose. Maybe you feel worthless. Maybe you feel like you've not accomplished anything. Then begin to walk in the resurrection of Jesus. This Easter, begin to understand that Jesus is alive And he wants to give you a new purpose. That same power that Jesus rose from wants to birth something in us. But finally, he lives in us to give us a new hope. All those other things are great, and we need them. We struggle with this life, and we need a purpose. We need a hope. We need a new identity. We need relief from what this world has done and what my own flesh struggles with. And I thank God that the resurrection of Christ gives me that new life. But this is what the Word of God says. In 1 Corinthians says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if Christ only came to give us a better life, if Christ only was raised to give us a message to preach to the world, to change the world, that's great, and the world needs it. But if that's it, how pitiful is that? Because then you die and your life is over. If in this life that is our only purpose, just to be better people, just to live my life and then be gone, it says that we of all people are most pitiable. But the next verse says, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or have died. The resurrection of Jesus was just the beginning. And it starts with our life here on earth, but it goes later, if you skip down to verse 49, it says this, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so also we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. We've already said that our flesh, God does not want us in heaven because we would ruin it. You want heaven? You can't go there. Not because you're not good enough. See, I was telling our people, the gospel message is not about being good or bad. If you were starting a new place for your family where they could live in peace and harmony for the rest of their life, would you invite a leper to come live among them that was contagious? A cancer person who had the Ebola virus or whatever, would you bring them into that place? No, because it's going to destroy it. But they were a nice person. See, it had nothing to do with how good you are. You're sick. You're contagious. God is not going to bring you into heaven because that very contagious nature of sin, which is in us, that cancer that eats us up, has nothing to do with your behavior. You can live your whole life being a good person and go to hell because God will not allow sin, this very thing, to corrupt the purpose that he has for those that he loves. And I thank God that he loves me enough to quarantine that. And it's a hard thing, and it's hard on God because he knows that he gave them a chance, a choice to take the antidote. But when we refuse, he cannot let those that are infected come in, no matter how good they are. It's not a matter of goodness. It's a matter of, are you infected with it? And so this incorruption, this corruption cannot come in to the kingdom of God. But this is what he says, but hold, I tell you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Because of the blood of Jesus, those that have said, God, coach me up, God, I put myself in your hand. If you have trusted in God, God will raise you changed. See, we live in this life, it's a struggle because God has not changed this body yet. But there will come a time where he's going to raise us up and change us into the very body of Christ. And we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruptible, and mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Hades, hell, where is your victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the walk of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, he has given us a new hope. There is a new hope that no matter how much you struggle in this life, God's going to change you. God, even though you keep failing, you might, there's the disappointment, man, I try and serve God, but I keep failing. I keep just blowing it. I thought I was supposed to be changed. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. He says, the very things I want to do, why do I keep doing those? Do we feel that way? I feel that way sometimes. I'm a pastor, God, and yet, man, if they saw me, they'd say, what are you doing? But we're all that way. But as we continue to struggle through this life, our hope is the understanding that one day God is going to take us out of this struggle. And because of the same power that resurrected Christ is going to resurrect us. And we are going to step out of the grave of this world. We're going to step out of the tomb of this world that we are living in, and we are going to step into a new life with a new body that is transformed, no longer to struggle with sin, no longer to struggle with the temptations of this life, if we have embraced Jesus, if we have put our trust in him, the trumpet's going to sound, and we have a new hope. There is a hope beyond this world. Our hope is not based on what I can do in this world. Our hope is based on what God has planned for us. Jesus said, don't be afraid. If I go away, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and get you. I'm not going to prepare a place if you're not coming there. I'm going to come and get you so that where I am, you can be also. So the question is, are we embracing a new hope? God, give me a new hope that it's not based on the things I see around me, but it's based on the promise that you have made me. And when that's our hope, we can do so much more. Life takes on a different meaning when we have hope. When we understand, that's why it says you can be steadfast, you can be immovable, you can always be abounding in the work of God, even though I've stumbled. Why? Because I know that my work is not in vain, because God's coming back to get me. Are we willing to let the same power that raised Jesus from the dead begin to work in us? Is the same power that raised Jesus out of that tomb living in you? Is he birthing something new this morning in you? Do you feel a little bud? Something that God is pricking you to say, would you just be willing to plant your seed in the palm of my hand? You see, your life is in your hand. Will you plant it in God's vineyard? Or are you going to hold on to it and never experience the harvest of what can happen in your life? He wants to live in you. The same power wants to live in you if we will embrace it. Do you need a new beginning this morning? God is here. Do you need a new identity? God is here. Do you need a new purpose? Oh man, God is waiting for you to come and sign up for the team. Do you need a new hope? Are you hopeless? Do you feel despair? God said the tomb is empty. God can empty out your life of those things too. Will we embrace new life this morning? It's up to us. Let's bow our heads.